Now I wonder, who prays for and actively seeks to develop gentleness in their character to gain a reputation both inside and outside the church for being gentle? Do we do that? Now, that's a challenge, and we'll think, as it were, again, that's a question that is in our minds as we go through this. In the scriptures, gentleness is frequently linked both to meekness and humility. But what is it that we're talking about? Actually, it's difficult to get a tight definition. You know, it doesn't slot just neatly in one pigeonhole. The same word as in the Galatians text that's the basis of our study is translated in different versions as kindness, goodness, or usefulness. Meekness, mildness, yieldingness, and pliability are all associated. We're going to be looking at gentleness in a broad sense. But it is very much the outworking of Christian love, and it's essential. It's the essential outworking of Christian love. It's active. It describes the manner in which we should, in fact we must, treat others. It is mildness in dealing with others. You know, it's being sensitive towards them. And it's seeking never to be unfeeling for their rights. It doesn't discriminate. Now, we looked at a passage on Sunday, and from James about discrimination, but it means that as Christians we don't have an A list and a B list and a C list. You know, the A list, they're the ones you want to be associated with, those you want to invite you to their parties, those you want around your place. B and the C list, well, B if you have to, C never. We don't discriminate, we treat all the same. It serves others. And it's approachable. I mean, one of the amazing things, and we'll come to this a little bit more, is the Lord Jesus. You think just how approachable he was, and yet he is God. And it has a calming influence. And it's also strong. To be gentle is to be like Christ and to be like God the Father. But we do need to realise that gentleness is not timidity. That's kind of pseudo-gentleness. It's not cowardly, which is like pseudo meekness. Nor is it a sort of a live and let live kind of relaxed attitude. It's not toothlessness, carelessness, spinelessness. It's none of these things. Nor is it a natural disposition. Now, we know in God's grace, some are given a temperament that, as it were, that for them, when they're saved, the grace of gentleness is not such a big struggle. And for others, whose temperaments are different, it's a much bigger struggle. But it isn't a natural disposition. We've all got our own natural dispositions given by God. But because of the effects of sin, each has their strength and each has their weakness. But this is not a natural disposition. Although some may have feel a greater challenge of this than others. Gentleness and meekness, it's an inward attitude that enables us, first of all, to be submissive to God's will, irrespective of the difficulty, any difficulty, and to treat others with gentleness, humility, courtesy, and care. Now, let's think of God and of Jesus and see where this gentleness comes in. Well, there's quite a few passages in the Bible where we see an amazing juxtaposition of the greatness of God and then his gentleness and his kindness. Now, if we go into Isaiah, there's several places there, but we can look at the verse that I've put on the sheet. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 1. This beautiful verse, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly or gently to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed and that her sin has been paid for." And later on in verses 10 and 11, and this is where we see this juxtaposition of the greatness of God and his gentleness. "See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." In other verses, we read of David. In fact, it's in Samuel, and then it's quoted again in the Psalm, about where it's rendered in two versions differently. Either "you stoop down to make me great," or "your gentleness makes me great." And there we have the sense of God coming down and lifting up, and lifting up gently to give greatness. And actually, that's what gentleness does, doesn't it? It calms and it lifts up. We also know of that meeting between that we see in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 12. Somebody like to read that one? It's when God revealed himself to Elijah. Has anybody got there?
"After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper."
Yeah, and the Lord was in the gentle witness, the gentle whisper. And there's this an unusual verse, really, in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. And if someone else would like to read that. This is sort of a negative. Almost call it a negative compliment of to God's gentleness and kindness. I'll read that. "Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you to repentance?" So we see the kindness, the gentleness of the Lord God leading us to repentance. That's how he leads us. And then what I've always found some of the most beautiful words in the New Testament, and that's Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 29. I'm not going to carry on going and reading through all these verses, but if someone would like to read those, I think they're especially precious verses.
"Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy,
Thanks, Chris. We see the Lord Jesus Christ describing himself openly as gentle. And of course, it was prophesied that when Jesus came, he would come gentle and riding on a donkey. "Your king comes gentle and riding on a donkey." That's in Zechariah, and that is quoted in Matthew. And of course, in a prophecy of the Lord Jesus is that a bruised reed he will not break, he will not quench the smoking flax. We see the gentleness, the character of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he comes to us. And again, that is quoted in Matthew. Because God is like that, because Jesus is like that, he looks to us to be like that. And he looks to church leaders, first of all, to be like that. In fact, there's much in Paul's letter to Timothy, obviously giving direction, instruction, to how he's to conduct himself, how he's to live as a minister of the gospel. And it's a challenge to every church leader, to church officer. We read, be gentle to all, apt to teach, patient. Gentleness coming before teaching almost. And this gets tougher, those who oppose him, his teaching, he must gently instruct. Yes, mustn't back off. You see, we said earlier that gentleness is not timidity, it's not cowardly, it's not toothlessness. It's actually dealing with the situation, but dealing with it gently. He must gently instruct. And a very sort of a directive, you man of God, pursue gentleness. So it's actually something that's to, as it were, to be run after, to be grasped, to be laid hold of. But it's not just those in leadership position. All believers are called to this. Let your gentleness be evident to all. In other words, when people see us, and this isn't just in the church, it's not just certain people, it's when everybody sees us, they've got to see gentleness. It's got to be evident in the way that we relate to them. We've said already that gentleness is active, it's actually relational. And so that in our relationship must be a primary characteristic. We're called to be completely humble and gentle. We're to clothe ourselves with gentleness. Now, you're out of clothing, that's what everybody sees. Other stuff's underneath, but you're out of clothing is what everybody sees. And so that's what people are to see. We're to be considerate and show true humility to all men. And then, when we're in a situation, obviously this applies especially to those who are in spiritual leadership, but it also applies generally to every believer. Where we see somebody who's stumbled, who's fallen, who's rebelled, we're to seek to restore such a one with gentleness. Not with a rod, but with gentleness. Now, all this comes at times a bit heavy on us, because we know this is not the way the world views things. And because we live in the day and the generation we do, for many of us, especially those who have temperaments where this in particular doesn't come easy, we've got real problems. And actually, to me, it's been most strange that right at the time where I've had some radical changes in my work situation, and the person I work for has changed, and they are let's put it this way: I had a phone call at 11 after 11 o'clock last night from somebody in the States, worried that this person was coming to see them for the first time, and he said, I understand he's the most frightening person you could ever deal with. So that was the description to me. This is, in the States, yes, he's a colleague of mine. So I was able to allay his fears a little. But right at this time, and I'm wrestling with this issue, because the possible response was either one of timidity, just get walked all over, or on the opposite, to actually be over assertive. And it's been a real challenge, and it's really come together at this time, in a very strange time for me. So in, as it were, thinking about this gentleness, I've had to be, I've been right in a situation where it's challenged, and we'll come on to that a bit later. Not my situation, but how the Word of God speaks to it. Well, the great thing is that this is active, and there's loads of examples throughout the Scriptures so we can understand what it looks like in reality, worked out in practice. We can see Jesus, who of course is always our primary example. He cared for his disciples, both when they were weary, when they were troubled. There's the verses in Mark, when they were wearied. There's the verses also in John, when they were troubled, when he was sharing with them that he was leaving them. And you see the gentleness with which he dealt with them. He didn't, as it were, disregard their vulnerability. And then we see him dealing with unbelievers, with sinners. In fact, people who, particularly in that day and generation, were the worst of sinners. There's the woman at the well, who nobody else would talk to, but Jesus did. And how he dealt with her, he actually dealt with the issue. It's not that he avoided the issue, he dealt with the issue. He dealt with her sin. But how he saw her where she was and sought to draw her to a position where he could say what needed to be said. He gently led her and dealt with her sin. Then there was the occasion when the adulterous woman was put in front of him, and he was being challenged to see whether he would obey the strict letter of the law and have agree to her being stoned. So he would have been in trouble with the authorities, probably. But no, he dealt with her sin. But consider how gently he dealt with her. Think about Zacchaeus. Now, if anybody was an outcast in his society, it was Zacchaeus, wasn't it? And Jesus actually went to his home and engaged with him. And you don't see Jesus going through loads of challenges with him, do you? It's almost as if the gentleness, the graciousness, the caring way in which Jesus dealt with him just made Zacchaeus sort of flood out with everything and just want to run to the Lord. And Jesus also sets an example in the sort of related aspect of meekness. And we read that in many places, but we well know is in Isaiah 53, where we read that he was oppressed and afflicted, but did not open his mouth. Other examples, Abraham. You know the time when he was in the land, and the land was, the growth in the population of the cattle and the sheep was such that the contention arose out between Abraham's servants and Lot's servants. And Abraham, who was the senior and the leader, let Lot choose where he would go. There's no sense of recrimination at all there. He just was prepared to step back and let Lot choose. And it's very interesting, isn't it, that it was after Abraham did that that God immediately came to him and gave him promise of his inheritance. Moses, described as a meek man, no more meek man on the face of the earth. He faced the heartbreak of being challenged by Miriam, sister, and Aaron. And God intervened directly, and Miriam was made leprous. What was Moses' reaction? Now, bear in mind, 40 plus years before, he'd killed an Egyptian, he'd then intervened in a quarrel between two Israelites, and because of his aggression, he'd had to flee the land. Now, in this situation, being confronted, what does he do? He prays for Miriam to be healed, and she was healed. No recrimination at all. Paul. Now, we must read this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. Is anybody there? What an expression, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, you know, intrinsic characteristics of Christ. And this is what Paul is beseeching the believers with. Now, I've got other verses there from Thessalonians and Corinthians which demonstrate how Paul dealt with believers gently, even though he had great authority as an apostle. He had tremendous intellect. He could use his his intellect to actually cut them to ribbons. He could use his authority to demand action. But no, he beseeches, he entreats, he is gentle with them. Now, is this really the same man who, not many years previously, was breathing threatenings and curses and putting people, men, women, to death, imprisoning them, not caring for their families or anything? Yes, it is. The grace of God has come, and we see a radically changed life. A man who wasn't gentle by temperament, by nature, being made gentle by the Lord. Problem is, we like to be seen as up together. We like to be seen as inspirational. We like to think we know how to work people to get what needs to be got out of them. We like to be masters of our situation. We like to command respect for our ability, for our standing, our authority, and all sorts of other outward things. And this goes against the grain. I said meekness is an attitude toward God, a quiet submission to his will, regardless of circumstances and consequences. And even whether or not we understand why we're in this situation, instead resting on the perfection of his will. There's in Psalm 131, there's quite an amazing refrain about not being anxious, not being troubled by big things. It's a sense of resting in the Lord. And then, of course, when Mary was told that she was to give birth to Jesus, she submits in meekness to the will of the Lord. Meekness doesn't seek revenge, but commits to the Lord. Now you think of another incredible example. This is Stephen. Stephen being stoned to death for his profession of faith. And what does he do? He doesn't pray for revenge. He meekly submits to the will of God and prays for his enemies. Meekness obeys, as we see in Romans. I think this is a nice statement. Meekness takes injuries like pills, not chewing, but swallowing them down. It aims at maintaining peace when we are bombarded with words, attitudes, and actions calculated to provoke us. It puts others first. We do not stand on our dignity or parade our rights. It practices forgiveness. It has a predisposition to be merciful and compassionate with the faults of others. It's a prerequisite to blessing. Think again of Abraham, who I've said, also of Moses, also in the Psalms. And then, Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, the meek shall inherit the earth. So actually, meekness is right up there. It's in the top nine Christian virtues after poor in spirit and mourning our sinfulness. And we're not going to be meek, are we, unless we are conscious of the reality of what we are by nature. And actually, what we are even continuing, even though we've been saved by grace, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, we know we still fail. And so we've got nothing to boast of. We've got nothing to claim for ourselves. We can only rejoice in the Lord and in His goodness, in His greatness, and His righteousness imputed to us, and submit to Him. It's essential to our calling. It must be present, whatever our temperament. Gentleness is a bright light. You think of the attributes in our culture around us. Pride, arrogance, jealousy, quarrelsomeness, resentment, abrasiveness, anger, even violence, aggressiveness, insensitivity. That's our culture's black backdrop against which Christian gentleness will shine brightly. Gentleness is also wise, as we see in James. And gentleness is an absolute requisite in witness. Again, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Somebody gets there quickly. Could they please read that? We've got a message of salvation. It's a glorious message, and it deals with people's in their sin. But how are we to do this? We're to do it with gentleness and respect. I can only describe gentleness as beautiful in its appearance. It's Christ-like, it's God-like. And it only comes through the working of the Holy Spirit within us. I can't say again, this is not a natural disposition. And it is something that we have to strive after. We've got to run after it. It isn't going to happen automatically. What are some of its effects? Well, that's really been interwoven with a lot of what we've said. But in Proverbs, we see that it turns away wrath. There's a statement, a gentle tongue can break a bone. I think that's more like heaping coals upon somebody's head, where it has such a powerful effect. As we've seen in 1 Peter, it saves, it reconciles, it heals, it restores. And we're so thankful that throughout the Word of God, there are so many examples, so that we can see that even though we wrestle with it, we can see that by the grace of God, it is possible to to grow in gentleness. But the question comes at the end that came at the beginning. Who prays for and actively seeks to develop gentleness in their character to gain a reputation inside and outside the church for being gentle? I hope as we've considered these verses, considered God, considered the Lord Jesus, that we see the imperativeness of gentleness and see the challenge that there is to our own hearts and lives. But also, there's an encouragement, isn't there? Because God has promised blessing upon those who are gentle, and that it will have a powerful effect. And so, we should not worry that the world tramples all over it, but we should trust the Lord and seek to be gentle in our dealings, not just with those that we like, not just in the church, but with all people, that we might honour the Lord. But we know we need the Holy Spirit, we need to be strong, we need to be courageous, to be gentle.